This is Encourage the Good. Hello again. We were first introduced to Nehemiah when he was brought news of the state of Jerusalem. He is greatly troubled by this news, but he also has responsibilities to handle. How does he cope in this in-between time while he processes the news from Jerusalem and carries on with his job in the present? How does he cope in the in-between time of a growing sense of what the future may hold and continuing to carry out his duties in the present? How do we cope in our own in-between times, facing the opportunities of tomorrow and the challenges of today? Charles Dickens starts his novel A Tale of Two Cities with the famous lines, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us." Dickens writes of a season where opposites coexist. We understand that contrasting concepts and conflicting emotions can be part of our experience. I remember at school doing a science experiment when we had three bowls of water. On the left, a chilled bowl with ice cubes. In the middle, a bowl at room temperature. And on the right, a bowl of hot water. The experiment was to put one hand in the cold water and one in the hot water, and at the agreed signal from the teacher, move both your hands into the central bowl. You then had to describe how you felt. Was the water you were feeling hot or cold? Apparently, it was something to do with the process of thermal adaption, but basically, I think it was just trying to blow our 12-year-old minds. I often find conflict in processing experiences and reflecting on how I feel about circumstances. How do you feel about the future? Excited and confused. How do you feel the work is going? Encouraging and challenging. How are you getting on? Making progress and not progressing as fast as I would like. How do you feel about where you are living and working, at home and alien? There is always a lot to process, and to be in an emotional interference pattern is not at all unusual. As I look back over the past 5 years, it has been the best of times and the worst of times. I posted a picture of Ailsa and I, and someone commented how great it was to see us looking so happy and relaxed. It was taken on a day when we were feeling a lot of different things as we processed different bits of family news from the UK and New Zealand. Appearances can be deceptive. Often we are facing complex and conflicting priorities and emotions. It is interesting for me to consider how Nehemiah handles his in-between time as a lesson in facing uncertainty, making plans, sharing thoughts, and discerning what is going on and how to respond. Nehemiah's in-between time as he processes the news and considers the future is characterized by days of prayer and fasting. We're given an insight into these prayers and his process. Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favour in the presence of this man. There are three key insights here. Nehemiah starts by remembering who God is, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, the God who makes covenant with people and keeps promises. God is love and enters into relationship, calling people to love and follow. Faced with conflicting and contrasting feelings, being orientated to the character of God is our anchor and our only compass. Nehemiah goes back to the Mosaic covenant, and this shapes his perspective. Perhaps the biggest challenge in leadership is to remember the Lord and focus on him. Oswald Chambers said, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. We can do nothing without God's help and power. Now, I'm an activist. I know the theory of this, but the practice is much harder. I have this idea in my head that is hard to dislodge, that leadership is about doing things, and that these things should all go well. I often pray that hard times will end, rather than praying we would know God more through the hard time. Nehemiah thinks about who he has rather than what he lacks. Secondly, Nehemiah remembers who he is. He is God's servant. Servants wait for direction. He uses it twice in the prayer, in verse 6 and verse 10, and again twice in verse 11 when he talks about himself as a servant and numbers himself with other servants of God. Leaders do not have servants. We are servants, and we serve together. An old Larry Norman song has the lines which resonate with this prayer of Nehemiah. I am a servant. I am waiting for the call. I've been unfaithful, so I sit here in the hall. How can you use me when I've never given all? How can you choose me when you know I'd quickly fall? So you feed my soul and you make me grow, and you let me know you love me. And I'm worthless now, but I've made a vow, I will humbly bow before thee. Thirdly, Nehemiah confesses his sin. The sin is personal, generational, and encompasses the community of faith. It focuses on their disregard for God. He speaks of wickedness, disobedience, and faithlessness. But he remembers that they are still God's people, and God has promised to restore and redeem. Fourthly, Nehemiah prays for help as he plans to speak to the king. He asks for God's favour. We're going to see in the next episode that he is fearful and unsure of what the response will be. He's entering uncharted territory, but he waits for God's timing. Much has been made in some quarters of the importance of the first 100 days in a new role. It's described as a time for boldness, clarity, and to set course, as well as an opportunity to build relationships and communicate vision. But these first 100 days may also be an in-between time, where waiting and listening is the priority. Another 3 months is going to pass before Nehemiah speaks to the king. He lives in this in-between time, waiting, seeking, praying, and discerning the moment. A Tale of Two Cities is set in London and Paris, before and during the French Revolution. The novel ends with one of the central characters, Sidney Carton, going to his death at the guillotine. He goes quietly, reciting the verse, "I am the resurrection and the life." Dickens ends the novel with an interesting device where he imagines what Sidney might have said and sees his death as the means by which a new world order could emerge. The last line is particularly poignant. "It is a far, far better thing that I do than I have ever done. It is a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known." Every time we take communion, and especially as we celebrate Easter, it is good to remember the sacrifice of Jesus and his resurrection that turned the worst of times into the best of times. And to appreciate that in our present reality, we continue to live in the great in-between time between Jesus' resurrection and future return. The kingdom of God is at hand, but there is much more to come. And between that last great day and this day, we seek to make the most of every opportunity, but do so with patience, gentleness, respect, and dependence on the Lord's help. So for me, the big challenge of this is to pray like Nehemiah, remembering who God is and who I am, confessing sin and seeking favour. I need God's help in whatever he is calling me to do. I wonder what strikes you from Nehemiah's prayer. What conflicting things do you feel at the moment? And who is praying with you and for you in these? I pray that you would seek the Lord and know his presence in your in-between times.